It's the Butt Campus.
You see, we have ulterior motives here at the Butt Campus, you know.
And you know it.
Let's make it happen.
With DCST.
People are sitting up here, you know, being blind and oblivious to the bullshit that's happening in our country, and then not trying to take action until that shit hits home.
It's going to come down to the everyday man to make a change. It's not going to be the quote-unquote leaders or, you know, the athletes or, you know, the entertainers.
I mean, because my mom tells me stories about different doctors who find cures for different diseases and things, and she always tells me that, you know, they either run them out of town, or, you know, they pay them off, they get rid of them because they cure people.
You ever notice, like, when something like major going on in sports, they like throw out like a sentencing of a cop that got off, but it'd be like going on doing, like, you know, game 7 of the NBA finals, like Super Bowl.
Yeah, all the cops got away with the murder. NBA finals coming up next.
And now, ECST.
Everybody knows how to make it work.
I can't remember the song, nigga.
I don't know if that's a true song, because nobody want to make shit work nowadays. That motherfucker who made that song was dreaming.
John Legend.
John Legend. Oh, okay. Off his new shit?
Evolver, I think. Yeah, it was off. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that shit. Yeah, Evolver was that. That was that shit, man. Nobody talks about Evolver, man.
I know it was probably one of his most underrated albums ever.
Yeah. Quickly on there with Brandy. Quickly. What does it have on there?
Andre 3 Stacks, Green Light.
Yeah, it's over. Over with my shit.
It's over. Yep.
Now what do you keep calling me for?
It's saying, bitch, it's over. Over. That was one of my old girlfriend retos, man. I'm like, bah! What you want? Hey, you ain't talking about, you ain't trying to, you know, top me off. You ain't trying to do some, you know, rap seat tick in the basement type shit. You know what I'm saying? speak on the mic, then you don't call me. Man, what's been up with you, ST?
Man, you know, chilling, man. You know, just again, glad to be, you know, 2 feet above ground, bro. You know, just chilling, man. How you feeling, EC?
Man, I'm feeling all right, man. Hey, man, you hear about that Atlanta orgy, man? They having this past weekend. You hear about that shit?
Let the folks know about it.
Yeah, man. So this girl, at first it was supposed to be like a little private little party where it's gonna be her birthday party, but everybody she invited, she said it was just gonna be pretty much just turn into an orgy. And so of course, you know, immature people or somebody just wanna be popular and wanna start some shit, went to Twitter and let everybody know where the party was going to be at and what time. And then that just turned into a big old meme and it blew up on the internet over the weekend. Because when I saw it, I was like, ATL orgy? I was like, what is this? And some of the funny memes were like, talking about, they had like a guy with his pants on fire talking about you after leaving the ATL orgy on Monday. It's like his crotch was on fire. He was like lighting his cigarette with his penis. I know, like, the crotch over his penis, you like light a cigarette. But dude, this junk happens more often than you think, man. But
yep.
Yeah, dude. When I saw that junk, I just shook my head. Like, man, like, come on, people can't keep nothing private because everybody wants that attention, man. It's like a drug, man. Attention is a drug, man. Some people, man.
It is, man. It can, you know, it can be just as, you know, bad as catching, you know, a virus or something like that.
Yeah, man. You can almost tell a broad, man, if you let me smash, I'll get you 10,000 Instagram followers. Okay. Like, whatever that works. Well, yeah, man. Attention can't be everything, man.
Yeah.
Just think about going into the ATL, going into that, like, the orgy, and then you, like, see some of your, like, maybe see some of your old classmates, you might see, like, your best friends, You might have seen some of your church members, some, you know, some deacons, you know.
Turn to Mark chapter 3. Nigga, you in here.
No, I'm like, what? And then, like, it'd be funny as hell, nigga. You, like, walk in. He was like, I came to get the sinners out of here. Nigga, Joe, shit your ass off. Right, nigga?
Why your pants unzipped?
Yeah, yeah, man. You got the economy in hand looking all thirsty as shit. Oh, that joke would be funny as hell, man. Like, you see everybody being there. And then the main people you don't think be all up in it be there. Like, yep. The little quiet girl to be in your class. As you know, says she got all the good grades. Never talked to nobody. Always reading the book. And always thinking about some dick. That's what you know. Sugar walls getting penetrated. That's what you think about. But yeah, man, I thought that was crazy. Also, you know, starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
The NCAA tournament be starting, man. You know.
Yep.
All right, man. I'm going to keep it real with y'all, man. If you haven't filled out a bracket and you're just doing it just to do it, don't fill it out, man. Hey, man, go ahead and do something else. Don't waste your time. Yeah. Don't go through all the bullshit of, you know, flipping a coin or, like, look on ESPN or want to just be a part of something just because it's going on.
Yeah.
It's just like, let that shit go, man. Go on and do something else, man. Shit, March Madness sucks anyway. Like, it's not good until, really, the only thing I like about NCAA is seeing people get knocked off.
Yeah, the most exciting time is usually the first two rounds and then the last two rounds.
Exactly. The shit in between is boring as hell. Yeah. I was like seeing, like, number ones getting knocked off and number twos getting knocked off. That's all I like seeing. I like seeing the strong fall.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially this year, man, because if you think about it, you know, the way they did the seeding this year, especially this year, man, you know, like, our team, you know, MTSU.
Oh, they made it?
Yeah, they. This is the second year in a row. You know, last year they beat Michigan State in the first round.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I laughed my ass off. I was like, Michigan State, how y'all let this shit happen to you?
Yeah. So, you know, they were ranked 15 last year. And, you know, they went 30-4 in the regular season this year. And I think we only moved up to a 12 seed. So I'm like, wait a minute. It's teams in other conferences who don't have nearly the schedule that we had this year. And they ranked higher. So I don't know. I think the selection committee, like, you know, I think they're too busy looking at the name instead of the resume. Because they don't really give these, you know, these squads that have really done some damage any love. So that's the big beef that I got with the selection committee.
Yeah, man, I'm fucking up these Blue Raiders, man. Show us some respect. Yeah. I know what I was about to say, some other shit, man. Oh, yeah, man, speaking of college basketball, dog. Man, what's your thoughts on LeVar Ball, man? What is your thoughts on that motherfucker, dog?
To this point, I understand why he's doing what he's doing.
Did you hear what he said?
Oh, I didn't hear what he said. What he said on Monday?
Yeah, this delusional bastard said that he could beat Michael Jordan 1-on-1 in his prime or now.
Oh God. Yeah, he just try. I think he's trying to collect headlines, dude.
Yeah, man.
I think that's what that's all about.
That's all about. Yep.
Because he did an interview with Colin Cowherd. And it was a pretty good interview. Mm. You know, he spoke about his reasoning for doing what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
And basically, he's trying to compete. You know, he started his own AAU league because, you know, I guess the league that he was, I guess, trying to get his boys in, they was either trying to do too much or, you know, they were trying to, I don't know. It was just something he was like, man, why should I do this when I got, you know, I got the best boys on the block. I could just start my own team, you know, do my own thing, you know, make our own money. Mm. You know, I can develop my own company. I can develop our own brand, you know, and compete with Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour instead of, you know, trying to get them to, you know, give me, you know, I guess a portion of what I created, which makes a whole lot of sense. From that stance, it's like, you know, why would you give up the intellectual property of your brand and only get paid, you know, a third of what it's worth? So he's talking about, you know, he was talking about LeBron. He's like, do you think LeBron can take that King James label anywhere else? He's like, no, he can't take that. That belongs to Nike, which is true.
It's true.
You know, LeBron can't take that nowhere. So he's, you know, he's doing his own thing. And, you know, he's doing marketing right now. He's marketing for his sons. He's marketing for his company. You know, he's marketing for any other, you know, future basketball prospect that might want to come and join the team. So from that stance, I understand it. And, you know, I would do the same thing. But as far as, you know, making outlandish statements like, you know, his sons would be better than Steph Curry, all his sons would be one and done players, you know, he's better than Michael Jordan. That stuff is, you know, that's pushing it.
Yeah, so he tweeted earlier today that whatever shoe company that signs his boys, they're a three package deal, and guess how much he want for all three of them?
How much?
$1 billion.
Yeah. I did see that.
Yeah. Okay. I know. Just making sure you saw it, but yeah. Like, now I tweeted back because I like retweeted and put a quote on it. I was like, that's a bargain if all of them end up being superstars. If they're all up at least being, their ceiling is LeBron and their floor. And their floor is like James Harden. That's a deal you couldn't pass up.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a hell of a window, because either way, both of them really selling shoes, even though Harden's shoes ugly as fuck.
Yeah.
But you know, people motherfuckers buying them just because they want, you know, they follow that motherfucker. But
yeah,
that would be a hell of a deal, man.
Yeah, it would be. I was about to say, you know, if you're Michael Jordan, the ceiling is the floor.
Yeah. That shit. And then Jordan
is the roof. There we go.
Ceiling is the roof. I know people would just like, he Jordan, he can say whatever he wants. In that video, man, you should have seen like one of the assistant coaches in the back looking like, what the fuck he just say? This shit was funny as hell. Like he turned his head like, what? And somebody probably nudged him like, shh, that's Jordan, he can say what he want. But that's freaking crazy, man. I wish them the best of luck, man.
Yeah. I hope his boys turn out to be, you know, what he expects them to be.
I did watch that SportsCenter special where they just showed how he trained the kids, how he raised them, how he had the big baller brand. And you can buy a t-shirt. Well, ESPN said you can go buy the t-shirt on the website, $50. And I'm going to keep it real, man. When his first son gets into the league, they need to work on that design.
Yeah, they do.
It's so simple. It's like, it was no thought put into it. It was just like, man, let's just put some shit together, man, and y'all will sell it just because y'all are in it. I could tell that's how his mindset is, dude. It needs to look a little bit better. Yeah. I like his vision, man, but you still got to put something on it. Kids ain't going to wear shit if it looks ugly. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I don't see a lot of motherfuckers in LeBron's. Like, early LeBron shoes, I didn't see a lot of motherfuckers in those things. Those things are ugly. I see him in them now, because I'm going to tell you right now, them Iron Man, like LeBron shoes, I don't know the number of them, I almost bought some. And I'm not really into shoes. I'm like, man, this shit's hot. Because they were like, just, you know, the color Iron Man, like metallic red and gold. Them things fresh, dude. And I almost got them. But it comes back down to looks and aesthetics. Like, Steph Curry shoes, man. Nobody bought them fucking daddy shoes.
Yeah, them white outs.
Hell yeah, man. You know, Twitter destroyed that. So it's still all about how things look, man. So they definitely need to work on that.
Yeah.
But we'll see, man. In the end, I think his son will probably sign with Jordan or Nike. And I don't think it's going to go through because, man, number one, he don't have the distributing power. He would have to get that down. So what he had to do, he had to sacrifice his son. His first son would have to sacrifice some of his money to get the distribution started.
Oh, yeah.
So he had to cut into that shit. If you're really down to take care of the middle and the youngest, so when they come up, they can do it. So the first child, whatever his name is. What's his name?
I think it's LaMelo.
Yeah, I think, you're talking about him being a Laker. I need to watch him play or whatever. I don't even care. We got other issues with
GM. I mean, speaking on his game, though, to be honest, if the Lakers were in a position to draft him, I would get rid of D'Angelo Russell in a hurry to get LaMelo.
Yeah, I already know, like, looking at D'Angelo, he's gonna be our first he's gonna be the first trade piece. Like, he's gonna be like one of the first like young trade pieces that we trade to start getting assets, because we're gonna keep Ingram and Randle. It's gonna be Russell.
Oh yeah, Brandon Ingram is he's a bona fide star. He just need to get some weight on him, like bad, like 2 years ago. He need to get some weight on him. But yeah, if LaMelo is available and the Lakers are there to pick him up, yeah, that's gonna be step two as far as, you know, the Lakers building y'all teams back together. But you know, it's funny, speaking of the Lakers, how, you know, Mark Cuban was saying that, you know, he respects Magic Johnson and the new GM of the Lakers, but he hopes that they fail miserably.
that's what all the other owners should say about all teams, man.
Yeah. It is. And you know, it's funny, man, we think about, you know, the Lakers, and the thing that's going to kill them the most is the fact that they like to be about the show instead of about the product. You know, it's all about glitz and glamour. And, you know, that's always been, you know, the Lakers' downfall. Same thing with, you know, the New York Yankees. They're all about, you know, the show, the glitz and the glamour, instead of, you know, taking the time to, build a team. And, you know, they always want to buy a team. And that's, you know, that always kills them in the end.
Yeah, it's worked. We got all those championships off of it. It's just we had a couple of down years. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't keep that kind of success cannot be sustainable the way they do it. But when it's done right, it's like say about like a 3 to 6 year window where it's just like motherfuckers can't be stopped. And that's all they're looking for. They're just looking for just to get the players there, try to run the gamut for a little while, then yeah, start off fresh, man. Those are the kind of franchises way, the Laker way and the Yankee way. That's just how they do it.
Yeah.
Because the Yankees have been down for a long time, man. But eventually that formula does work, man, because money talks and location means something. Yeah. So eventually.
Well, not anymore, because if you think about it, man, it, you know, location being what it was, you know, the top free agents haven't been choosing to go there. But, you know, of course, it's different now being that Kobe is gone. But, you know, we'll see how that works.
Kobe was the issue. Kobe took up too much of our cap space. Nobody wanted to really play with Kobe because nobody wanted to deal with his just being around him, because, you know, Kobe just, you know, pretty much be the alpha male of the team. Yeah. And he's like, hey, nigga, just ride my coattail. Like, Paul Gasol do it. Why the fuck can't you do it? Yeah. I don't know, man. Just egos get in the way, man. I'm keep it real, dude. If I was, like, a superstar player and I had a chance to play with Kobe and win a ring, I was just like, hey, man, and I'm, like, 26, and he on telling his career, I'd be like, yeah, man, yeah, dude, it's your team, because it is his team. The motherfucker can teach me how to win, because he's won.
Yeah.
And then, like, once he leaves, I can take it over. But motherfucking egos get in the way. That's why shit don't work. But, you know, everything now is just super friend shit. Just let's go. Let's be friends. Let's be super friends and get on a team. Or, like, LeBron, let's just collect assets. Let's collect everything. Like, the Andrew Bogut went down. They went and signed Larry Johnson, man.
Larry Sanders.
Larry Sanders. So they just signed him. Like, and people talking about LeBron would do whatever it takes to win this ring. And then,
I mean, yeah, I don't blame him, though. Because, yeah. I mean, if you think about it now, like, the ball is in the Cavaliers' court. Like, it really is. With KD being down, you know, they're not even favored to win the West now.
No, man. Like, with KD being down, man, it's not looking good. And then they sacrifice getting KD. They sacrifice all the bigs. The
bench.
That's going to really show in the playoffs, man.
Yeah, the bigs, the bench. Like, yeah, they lost a lot of firepower off the bench, man. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, who comes out the West this year.
Might be Houston.
Yeah, it could be. It could be San Antonio. Like, you never know. We know who it ain't going to be, though. Them Thunders.
Yeah, man. Poor Russell, man.
Don't feel sorry for that nigga. He did it to himself.
Yeah, just come on home.
I'm coming home. Anyway, I'm coming home.
Please come home. don't waste all your good years in Oklahoma trying to prove a point, man. Shit!
He gonna waste them.
Yeah, he is, man. Motherfucker got too much pride.
Yeah, getting too much money from Oklahoma City. He
yeah, he ain't doing that shit, man. Speaking of like kind of a weird segue from Russell Wilson, Russell Westbrook in his fashion to Pharrell, real quick, man. This you know this motherfucker Pharrell, dude, is a new spokesperson for Chanel.
Yeah,
and guess what he's trying to push on people?
What's that?
A bag.
Man bag.
A man bag. Yes, dude. I'm talking. I'm looking at a picture right now, man. So if y'all want to, y'all need to go to GQ. Just Google GQ and type in Pharrell, and you're gonna see him leaning up against like one of those like big crates that holds like studio equipment.
Yeah.
And he has on like a cardigan with a whole bunch of jewelry and like a satchel purse hanging over his shoulder, trying to look dignified. Like, dude, they need to stop trying to push this shit.
Yeah.
On the black culture, dude, because they can tell we're very impressionable. Because all you gotta do, because yeah. I guarantee to be in boardrooms and be like, hey man, this is all we gotta do, man, to push this agenda. Let's just get somebody that they look up to, that's somebody that's eccentric and kind of metrosexual, and pass this off as being okay.
Borderline gay.
Yeah, borderline butt moist. Borderline ass chap. And, you know, push this shit out to the masses, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, if I see any of y'all people, if I see any dude wanting Chanel bags around their neck, tell them, yeah, man, I'm about to go home to the wifey. I'm like, no, you're not about to go home to the wifey. You're about to go home to the husbandy.
About to go home to the gym.
Hell yeah. About to go home to the drone.
Especially niggas in Atlanta. You already know niggas in Atlanta finna be, you know, like popping with it. Like they finna find no fault in it whatsoever.
Oh, no.
It's finna be mad niggas in the hood that, you know, got a man purse. You know, so all it takes is one.
Yeah, all it takes is one, man. But I'm gonna keep it real. When I was in Japan, I saw that a lot, but it wasn't like a purse. It was more like a book bag, because it was like a small. Think about like a fanny pack, but a little bit bigger, and then it went like across your back.
And yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, they use that, and then some guys had like a huge satchel. It's just different cultures in Japan, like, because every dude had that, because they had just carry so much, and they don't really drive anywhere. They, you know, they commute everywhere through train, taxi, and walking everywhere. So it's just a different culture. But over here, man, if you wearing a purse, man, I don't know, man. I can't even talk, man. When I saw this article, I was like, man, come on. And then guess how much this shit costs, like a piece?
How much?
$3,500. What? I wouldn't even buy it. Made a calf skin, and they also have a crocodile version. Yeah, that makes it more masculine. Man, you get exit out of this shit.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, then one more thing before we get to the intro. You know, the Brooklyn Nets honored Biggie, man, for his 20th anniversary, man. What's your favorite Biggie track?
Oh, that's easy. Warning.
Warning?
Yeah.
What's the, what, oh, Nick, oh, mine is Notorious.
Word.
Notorious, looking at the person,
and then the person, the person. Oh, you talk about the the joints with Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Hell yeah, man, that intro, man, every time I fucking hear that intro, man, nigga, I sound out of my head. That whole thing, dog, that whole song was bumping, dude. That's my favorite Biggie track. But, I remember somebody asked, like, who was, like, a bigger, who's a better lyricist? You know, the old debate.
Tupac versus Biggie.
Yeah, man. And everybody said Tupac was more of a influential figure for the black community, more than Biggie. And that was true, because he did speak on more black issues than Biggie did.
Yeah.
As far as lyricists.
Lyricists, is, you got to give it to Biggie.
Yeah, I think Biggie does have it, man.
Because I think even Pac agreed that he wasn't the best lyricist in the world. But, you know, he said some profound things.
Oh, he definitely did.
But Biggie was, always more clever with his words.
I would tell you, man, my favorite Tupac song that was, he was just talking about something, was Changes, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, Changes were deep. People still don't, that song came out with like 90, in the 90s?
Something like that.
And the motherfucker still he's speaking on shit that we still in the black community have to deal with now.
Yeah.
We still haven't figured out.
He was somewhat of a prophet.
Yeah, he was, man. He was like, and then the end of the summertime, we need to change the way we eat, we need to change the way we live, we need to treat each other better.
Yeah.
We treat each other like brothers. And we still in the divide, man. That's why they off his ass.
Yeah.
Did they say FBI killed Tupac?
I think that's what's believed. Either FBI or CIA or something. I think the same thing was for Biggie too.
Biggie too, yeah. That's just like that song Leaders, man. For Nas, talking about they kill them all, yeah. Man. Anybody that has any kind of influence over black community, man, they ice them, man. Because they don't want us all to come together, man. They don't. Because they know we're too powerful.
Yeah, influence in a positive way.
Yeah, influence in a positive, exactly. Just knowing if we would, they know, man. They know if we all got together and got our shit together, it'd be the end of them. Period.
Yeah,
that's why they always got to. They got to get rid of all of our leaders, man, and then like throw more dumb shit in our face to distract us, man. Like, hey, look at the character.
Chanel purses.
Yeah.
Presented by Pharrell.
By Pharrell, yeah. And Jordans. Where the ceiling is the roof. Hell yeah, man. Fuck all that bullshit, man. Welcome to another episode of the Blank Canvas Podcast. We are a topical podcast that comes on every Wednesday, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, on your favorite podcasting services, which is iTunes, AudioMac, Stitcher, or YouTube. And let's start what is will always be a motherfucking news segment.
Let's get it.
All right, man, I've got some disturbing news that I want to read, man.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court is looking to possibly repeal the gun suppressor law that's been enacted for 80 years.
Oh, God.
Dude, do you know how scary this shit is? If people are able to buy silencers on the open market?
Yeah.
Like, this has been regulated since 1934 for a good fucking reason, man.
Yeah, because, you know. You just walking down the street and all of a sudden you see a person's head explode.
Yeah, like, you know what's going on and you next.
Yeah.
And then, like, I remember I went to see the movie John Wick, and then it was a part of the movie where Keanu Reeves and Common were shooting each other in a subway, and they both had silencers on, and they were both just shooting each other, and nobody knew what the fuck was going on.
Wow.
Because both of them were just shooting at each other and missing, and people were just still walking, because all you heard was tink, 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 tink. You don't hear that. You're not gonna hear it.
Yeah.
You're not gonna hear that shit. Cause didn't what rapper died with a makeshift? He was shot with like a makeshift silencer. Run DMC. One of them like from DMC.
Oh, you talking about Jam Master Jay?
Yeah, cause the dude used I try to get motherfuckers ideas.
Yeah.
He used a 2-liter bottle. That's another way to create like a homemade silencer. So he used a 2-liter bottle to kill him inside the studio. That's how he was able to get away, but they still found him.
Yeah,
whatever, but that jump's just deadly. And then the whole thing is they say the way they're gonna try to regulate it, silencers cost anywhere from $300 to $1,000 a piece, depending on which kind you get, and also depending on, you know, what size is gonna go on certain guns. You know, because these motherfuckers can go on sniper rifles, man.
Yeah,
that's the thing. But it said buyers must pay a $200 transfer fee and submit their fingerprints and pass a federal background check. Federal background checks helped to pass for gun owners to begin with? No. they said the process could take up to 9 months to complete.
Unless you work for the FBI or the CIA.
Exactly. And then the main reason why they say they want to no longer regulate silencers is because lawmakers want something called, they're trying to work on a bill called the Hearing Protection Act, which helps people's hearing that are doing like shooting in firing ranges and hunting, talking about to help them with their hearing. Talking about the legislation is all about safety, plain and simple. There's a lot. If all about safety, don't fucking do it.
Yeah, you know, the others just try to give you, you know,
bullshit.
An excuse. Yeah, they're just trying to give you an excuse of bullshit so that, you know, it'll justify their reasoning for, you know, pretty much overwriting the law that, you know, that they create.
Yeah, and you gotta think about it. You always gotta ask the question, why? And you know, this is a money thing, number one. And number two, it could just be,
Well, isn't everything though?
Everything is money, yeah. Everything is money, but you gotta, I wanna like dig deeper past this. Like, why are they doing this now?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, cause their president is in office now.
You know what kind of crazy motherfuckers get a hold of these, man?
Yeah. Ex-military people.
Yeah, man. You know, they know they're doing with this shit.
Who haven't been, you know, debriefed properly.
Yeah,
you know?
They haven't really been acclimated back into society.
Yeah. You know, haven't had, like, a good psychiatric exam. Yeah.
Evaluation, man. These motherfuckers got PTSD. They can't function. Well, the good thing for ex-military is they get first dibs at jobs.
That ain't good, nigga.
But, you know, they did quote unquote fight for this country or whatever, so, you know.
Yeah, but just because you know, you sat outside, of a traffic cone and directed planes off a runway doesn't mean that you should be the first person in line for an HR manager position or something like that. Because that's what they're doing. They're giving people that ain't even qualified for these jobs the positions.
Yeah, because, you know, like, if you ever been applying for jobs recently, I say in the past, like, 2 or 3 years, I've seen a lot. They always ask the question, are you a veteran?
Yeah.
Now, that shit comes up. That shit come up before the race and all that, and gender.
Yeah.
Now, you're a prior veteran. They get first deals right now, man. So, but I just think this is a law that does not need to pass. I'm going to keep my eye on this, man, and hopefully it does not go through just for the safety of
everybody.
People of color. Browns, yellows,
yeah,
and the darkies, you know. Yeah, this, yeah. I just had to put that out in the ether, man. Y'all check that out. It's a Huffington Post article. If y'all want to read up on it, man, I just thought it was real scary when I saw it. All right, man, what you got?
You know, now the new administration, you know, talking about, you know, the whole new American Healthcare Act. The revisions that they're doing. But they're saying that, you know, by the time the revisions are over,
mm-hmm.
basically it's going to make healthcare coverage less accessible for, you know, old people and, you know, less fortunate people. So, yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. If you old and poor, you pretty much are in, you know, up Schitt's Creek.
That's how they want it. It's population control, man, trying to get rid of as many people as they can.
Yeah, they want to make it more affordable for the young and those that have high income.
Yep. So, they say anything about people that have pre-existing health issues?
Well, they claim that they want to keep that together. They want to make sure that the people that already have the pre-existing conditions,
mm-hmm.
that they are able to keep, you know, their doctors or whatever. But as the first, you know, Health Care Act couldn't really, you know, it couldn't promise that. I don't really see this one promising that either.
Hell no.
You know, we don't know. They're saying by 2026, it might be an increase from 4 million to 24 million of people that are uninsured. So.
That's what y'all want it.
That's what you asked for.
That's what y'all asked for, man. Trump America. Like, dude, that's very disturbing, man.
Yeah.
One country, you know, above us has free healthcare.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I mean.
It's not much you can say. It's just like Jay-Z song. What more can I say? and then I remember I saw a little headline that said, and the most people affected by this are the people that voted for Trump. Like, they're the ones that are really screwed.
They are the most gullible. That think that, you know, that they're not affected by what's going on. You know, they're so busy, you know, with their focus on hating other people,
mm-hmm.
that they don't realize the people that they are for ain't even for them.
Sure. Now, oh yeah, speaking of hate, man, you know, like right after we got out, our show was done last week. You were talking about all the, like, the bombings of, like, the mosque in Atlanta. I read there was another threat. there was another threat, like, that day. Like, right when I got up, I saw another one. It was last Monday, another threat. I was like, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, just so much hate in this world, man. Why can't we just all love each other, man, embrace each other's differences, man?
Yeah.
It's just like... It's ignorance, man. It's sad. It's definitely sad, man. But I hope they try to find a way to not have 24 million people in 2024 not have health care, and also, I guess, find a way to line their pockets as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Trump already said he's going to donate his whole salary at the end of the year to a charity because he don't need it.
Yeah, he don't need it.
He don't need it. So he's going to go ahead and just donate it because the president don't make shit anyway.
No.
How much you make?
I think it's $400,000 a year.
$400,000 a year. So he don't make shit. Yeah, he don't make shit anyway, man.
That's chunk change.
Hell yeah, but that retirement plan good. Cause all right, if you got an office, do 4 or 8, you get that shit. You get that shit every month. Like, you get a check every month, rest of your life.
That's why we gotta make sure he don't surpass this first one.
Yeah. he'll probably just do it. He gonna do it. Like all presidents do. They do what they want for those first 2.5-3 years, and it was time for re-election. They'll start doing some stuff. Cause, you know, people always have a bad memory when it comes to shit. And be like, look at all the stuff he's done now. He's going to continue it. I'm like, are you a fucking idiot? No, he's not.
Yeah.
Like, but the Democratic Party has to come with it, man.
Yeah.
The next election, man. They have to bring in a good candidate that can topple Trump, man. If not, he's doing 8 years.
Yeah,
I mean, period.
I mean, it won't really matter. To be totally honest, like, we could get a Democratic, you know, person in there, but it might change a little bit for, you know, people of color, but, you know, overall it won't be very much different.
Nah,
that's why, you know, hey, I very seriously doubt that I'll be voting again.
I ain't voted this last one.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. You know, in lighter news, man, a Texas lawmaker wants to fine men who masturbate $100 a pop. Do you know how many dudes would be broke or homeless if this was You know how many dudes would be homeless if this was the case? But it said, Texas lawmaker is proposing a bill that will require men to be the master of their own domain or be prepared to unload $100 in fines.
What does he think this is? Seinfeld?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, remember that joke Kramer came in and slammed him one down to my, I'm out.
Yeah. In all seriousness, how is that really going to be policed?
It can't, man.
Yeah, like, unless you make people walk around with, you know, body cams on themselves, pointed to themselves all day, every day. You know, there's no way you can police that. So you just need to sit down somewhere and shut up.
Yeah. So her name is Jessica Ferrer.
It would be a woman.
Yep. Is a Democratic state representative reportedly filed a House bill 4260, which proposes that in addition to masturbation fines, it will require rectal exams before getting a vasectomy, colonoscopy, or a Viagra prescription. Jessica called the bill satanical in an effect to underscore the health restrictions women face in Texas under GOP-led lawmakers. In particular, she points out there are fines for admissions outside of women's vaginas. Admissions outside of a woman's vagina and all potential abortion patents must be read, a woman's right to know. Oh, so they're just trying to get back because of the abortion thing, trying to just find something that can hit men. That's just not gonna fly, man. That jump became law, man. Just think about it. Just like, you remember, like, poor British to alcohol, you know how, like tenfold, like, some dudes just be doing it just cuz inside. Hey, like, you ain't stopping me.
Hey, we could do like the prohibitionists did during those days. We could just open us up a club, you know, with like 30 stars in there.
Who would derby be like, and like cameras outside, like, we got you, man, you good. Go ahead and do what you gotta do.
Charge niggas $10 a pop. They come in and, you know, do their thing.
Yeah, like $10 or $100. Which one is it? My $10 shit. A gold mine for that jump, man. Because like the business would probably work, because like during the prohibition era, you know, I guarantee you some people that never thought about drinking alcohol drank it just because it was illegal.
Yeah,
yeah, man. It's just the whole thing of just doing something that they, you know, the government tells you not to do, or just, you know, just being rebellious.
Yeah.
That's all it is, man. Just being rebellious, man.
Yeah.
And that shit came into law right now. Everybody be like, man, you stop me. I'm going to do it right now. Like, come get me. The whole time doing like, come get me.
Like you couldn't have like a news story breaking out on the street and nothing like that. Cause you know, every time, you know, a witness came to give their testimony to the, you know, the reporter, they might, you know, pull it out and start whacking it right there.
Hey, arrest me, bitch. And then people be snitching on people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd just be lying on people just cause he was doing it. I was just using the restroom. For good. But I thought that was funny, man.
Yeah.
But you got anything else before we get into the topic?
Nah, man, I ain't got nothing else.
All right, man, let's go ahead and get to the topic.
Let's get it.
All right, ST, man, what we going to hit the people with this week?
Yeah, so, you know, this is, you know, a pretty good topic that, I thought about. In less than, you know, 90 days, I will be marrying the woman of my dreams, you know. And about, you know, 30 plus years ago, you know, my biological father was in this same predicament. You know, the biggest difference between, you know, him and me is that, unfortunately, when it was his turn, you know, to get married, you know, he wasn't, you know, quite ready to be, you know, a husband, you know, much less a father. And, you know, pretty much he did what, you know, many other men before him and after him have done. You know, he had, you know, women on deck. And, you know, my mom being young and naive, she pretty much, you know, ran away from home, you know, pretty much like married this guy and moved, you know, thousands of miles away from home to a man that she honestly didn't know very well. I think, you know, they had like a long distance relationship type thing. And, you know, throughout my life, like I've known that he's, you know, my father, but, you know, we weren't, you know, like super, super close. And, you know, I'm cool with that because, you know, my stepfather, I see him as my father. You know, that's, you know, I see him as my pops. So I know that somehow, some way, you know, during that, you know, that weekend where, you know, all this, you know, wedding celebration is going to be happening, I know that we're going to have, you know, a moment alone. And EC, you know me, if I want to know, if I got something, you know, on my mind, I'm going to just ask. And I don't, you know, I don't care how you feel about me asking the question. You know, I'm going to just be straight up with him. And, you know, I'm going to ask him, you know, was the pussy worth it all to live your life and not be able to provide for your son, your only child, you know, that you got in this world? You know, not be able to be there for him, you know, at some of the most critical times of his life. I kind of want to see what his advice to me is going to be as far as, you know, getting married and things, because I just want to see where his head is at. Because, you know, here he is, you know, a man who lost it all. Lost it all because, you know, he couldn't, you know, ask himself if it was all worth it. You know, that's basically what this episode is. You know, it's predominantly for the men. I mean, it could go for the women too. You know, women, you know, ladies, you could ask yourself, yeah, is the dick worth it all? You know,
or the penis.
Yeah. So, you know, that's basically what it is. You know, is it putting your life in jeopardy, as EC said before, for, you know, a few minutes of pleasure? Is it worth losing it all?
I think it comes back towards if that male or female that's about to sacrifice their family values the family to begin with.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Just like case in point, same thing, man. ST know my story. It's the same story. My dad, did the same thing. You know, he stuck on out. He got caught through Singular. If y'all like let's see how old some of y'all are, man. We had Singular bill. They had phone numbers on. That's how his ass got caught before they turned to AT&T. And I never forget the phone call. We called him. I was in the house and they was on the phone, and then she was like, he right here next to me. And then we was like, we said, that motherfucker stay over there. That's we was on top of his ass. We was like, man, that nigga stay, man. Nobody got time for him, man. And then she was like talking about him like he was a prize. I was like, motherfucker, you ain't shit. Like, go ahead. Like, yeah. Like, that's trash to us, man. Like, we don't have time for it. But I don't know, man. It's so many dynamics that come to relationships, man. It could be like the woman could end up being the breadwinner of the family. The man could feel emasculated. So the way to get back at the woman is to go back and cheat on her or to, in his mind, find a woman that has less than him so he can feel like more of a man to her.
Yeah.
Because he don't feel like a man in his own household. So it's some deep psychological shit that goes on with some men that just don't have their shit together, man. So that shit, so he can be like, hey, man, she ain't got shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go ahead and D her down. She treats me like a man, and I make more money than her, so I feel like I'm the man in this relationship.
Yeah.
And this boosts my ego for the time being, you know what I'm saying, F the kids or whatever. So, man, just and then, like, another thing, man, some people just they're not ready.
Yeah.
They're not emotionally ready to have kids or mentally ready to have kids, knowing the sacrifice that you have to make, man. It's like a double sacrifice you have to make once you have a child. Because once you have a child, it's like when you're with your wife and it's just you and your wife, man, you know, you're living for her, you got to sacrifice for her, but you can still like take like maybe an eighth of yourself and be like, hey, I still can just do this for me. But then when you have kids, man, you no longer live for yourself. Your all goes to your kids. That's if you really care.
Yeah.
And if you really know what you're doing, and you really know what you're doing, you actually want to raise a family, a business, because a family is a business in the end.
Yeah.
But that's why I always tell y'all when I be on the show, man, like, man, I'm just too selfish right now, man. I'm not going to put anybody in that situation. So I'm not going to even, like, go there with any, like, female I talk to. Yeah. That's not fair to her. Because I know 100% that I'm not ready to commit, and I'm too selfish with my time to want to commit to somebody, so I'm not going to do that to her, man. That's another thing that a lot of people need to do, need to look in the mirror and just be like, hey, I'm not ready to even be in a casual relationship, because this casual relationship can turn into a serious one, and then you can slip up, and one of those sperms go and hit that egg, and you can have a kid, and then it's a wrap. And then he's like, man, I ain't got myself ready financially. I ain't financially squared away. I still want to kind of, you know, get some more knowledge under my belt, not saying it's right or wrong. Yes. Well, I want to run around a little bit more, and I can't do it. And then that's when the cheating comes in.
Yeah.
When the people are just not ready.
But see, here's the thing, like, you know, with my folks, though, is, you know, my dad had, you know, plenty of time to get his act together. Because when he and my mom got married, she was, what, 20? She was 21. And she didn't have me until I think she was 27. So they had a 6-year span, and still this nigga didn't want to act right.
Yeah.
So at some point you got to figure it's way beyond, you know, just being not ready. It's just, you haven't matured, you know, you haven't grown up mentally yet. Like, you know, there's clearly something wrong with you. Like, you know, to be that much of a womanizer, and, you know, to be with a, you know, a good woman who is, you know, willing to overlook, you know, those kinds of mistakes, and you still don't, you know, get it together. So that's why, you know, I just want to ask him, you know, was the pussy worth it all? Was it worth it all? His actions, you know, I mean, what's going on right now is a result of his actions. Like, I'm, you know, like, we cool and everything. I don't have any hatred towards him or anything. Like, you know, I know he's my dad, but,
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. I get it. I could be that way. I mean, I really could. I have every right to be that way.
You're a bigger man than me, ST.
I have every right to be that way. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I'm, you know, me. I don't care enough you know, to worry about stuff I can't control.
Yeah.
So, you know, I already know if there's something that I need, I know who to go to. Mm. Like, I don't have to, you know, think about, well, shit, I gotta call this nigga. I need something. But I don't have to do that. Mm. So, you know, as far as, you know, me growing up, you know, knowing that he's my father, okay, I can tell you, you know, my conversations with my dad, you know, were pretty much like yours, you know, growing up. They, you know, a few minutes, I think at the most, we might have talked like 20 minutes on the phone, at the most.
Wow.
So, you know, because I don't know, maybe, you know, he just, maybe he didn't know how, I guess, to interact with me. Maybe he didn't.
He's shame, man. He's shame.
More than likely he is.
Yeah, man, he's shame, man.
And, you know, that's okay, but don't lose out on everything, you know, just because of your shame. It's not like, you know, I don't already know.
Yeah.
It'll be different.
You're a grown-ass man, dog. Yeah. You know what's up now.
Yeah. So, and it's just something that, you know, he's got to think about, because more than likely, you know, my step pops is going to be, you know, the person that my kids call grandpa.
Hey, well, I love him to death, man. He's so cool, dude. He's so cool, man. I love hanging out with your family, man.
Something that, you know, men out there that y'all got to think about, you know, if you are, you know, married to someone, and especially if you have kids, yeah, you know, just sit down and think, you know, if your wife or husband, or, you know, whatever, you know, makes you angry. And, but, you know, the reason that they make you angry is not for anything that's really valid. Like, sit down and just think about it. Like, is the pussy or is the dick really worth it all? Is it worth you losing everything? Pretty soon you're going to be 50 or 60 years old and, you know, depending on how your kids are raised or, you know, depending on how they think, like, they may not be as, you know, forgiving as me. Like, they might be EC.
That's right.
Like, you know, they might not want to have anything to do, you know, with this person.
Yeah, just think, you got to think about it long run, long term. Like, what happened if I lived to be, like, 80 years old and I need somebody to help me get around, or somebody to give me to assisted living home, and all I have is that kid, and then you can't even get contact with him because you're a fucking douche. Like, what you gonna do then? You, like, I don't know, man, because when I was with my father, man, throughout, like he was telling me, man, when I was like 13, he's like, man, I can't wait till you turn 18 so I can get out of here. I was just leave now, you know what I'm saying? So I can get that check. Oh God, I never get a time. I told him that too. I was like, man, you gonna leave now, man? Just break out them checks every week, you know what I'm saying? Ain't gonna hurt you, but player, you know, you really want to get out, you know. But nowadays, you know, I see him, I just be like, you know. He'll say, like, hey, I'll be like, hey. You know what I'm saying? We'll be like, one word answers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, shit like that. Like, like, man, like, just the hatred runs so deep, man, that I don't know how long it'll take to get over it. Because it was just, it's a whole bunch of stuff I'm not going to talk about on the show that he's done to the whole family, man. It's just devastating, man. It's just some of that stuff you just can't get over, man.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, a lot of men and women don't understand that when you do that and your children see it, you know, another but creating a cycle.
Yeah.
Because that kid's going to do the same thing that they see.
Yeah.
Because I know, let's just say, for example, I don't put people business out there. Let's just say, for example, let's say you're the oldest of like six kids.
Yeah.
And then, while you were a kid, you always saw your mama jumping from man to man. Mm. Nobody was ever there. Somebody always up in the house. Somebody new. Somebody living there. They have a fight, they leave. Somebody new come. Do you know the foundations of a happy home or a family, a stable family?
More than likely, you don't.
Or do you know how to treat a woman?
Yuck. Ooh.
No. Do you know how to value a woman? Because you didn't see your mother getting valued, So what the fuck you gonna do when you get out here? Like, man, I'm gonna just blaze me some hoes and treat them like my mom was treated.
And you really won't respect your mother. You won't grow up respecting her.
Hell no.
There won't be a man there to check you when you disrespect your mother.
Man, that's why there's all these bitch made dudes out here, man. They don't know how to truly be men or how to handle a situation like a man or like a reasonable adult.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have like a man teach them how to handle issues.
Yeah.
You know, a female can't teach a male how to be a male. I don't care what y'all say. Like, oh, you see a chauvinist, get a feminist, get. Like, no, a woman can't teach a man how to be a man. Only thing a woman can try to do is teach him how to be a man from their experience from other men. Yeah. But it still had that feminine energy coming off of it.
Yeah.
But still would come from like a feminine realm.
Yeah.
And so that's why some dudes, you can't accept to some dudes sometimes and say something to them, they come with a gun the next day want to shoot you.
Yeah.
Because I know y'all accept you like a man. Or they all up in your fucking, they all up in their fucking feelings. Because they know how to handle issues, man.
Yeah.
But in the end, man, like the pussy is never worth it. Or the dick is never worth it. I'm going to be a devil's advocate and say this. That sometimes people do fall out of love.
Mm.
Or they thought they were in love, but it was another circumstance that made them think they were in love in the first place. As far as that person providing that financial security, some people equate that as love. Some people just being there for them emotionally when they were in their sad state, so they just use them, and they just like grow into like maybe you know this person is the right one for me, and then you kind of find out how that person truly is when everything's like not on the rocks and he's always dependable for you. Like, wait a minute, he or she is lazy. Wait a minute, this person's views are different than mine. I didn't really notice this when I was in my down period because he was just there for me. You know, so some of his views don't click up with mine. We don't have anything in common. But it's kind of too late. You know what I'm saying? You're fucking balls deep in this shit now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fucking too late to do anything about it. But it's a whole bunch of reasons why people get relationships never. And it's like showing for the divorce rate is looking like, man, 9 times out of 10 is for the wrong reasons. And people not being real with each other, man. We have to go back to the essence of just being real with each other, man, when you get a relationship. Just say, hey, this is what I want at the moment. If it springs off into something more serious, I might not be ready for it. So if you want to do a friends with benefits, we can do that. If you don't want to do that, if you're looking for somebody emotionally to be there for you, I don't think I can do that because I think that'll take too much time. So let me just be by myself. And it's the male and the female fault. And the one thing I hate about sisters, man, I see this shit so fucking much, man. If sisters see the signs of the guy being a bad guy or the guy's pretty much telling you who he truly is and you don't want to see the signs and you try to make him into the image that you want to make him into, then you turn up like 6 months later talking about he wasn't the man I thought he was, he a bum, yada, 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 when he showed you who he was to begin with.
Yeah.
But you put your fucking blinders on. Take your blinders off, man. You know what I'm saying? If you D you down good, just be there for the D and then get on out. And nothing wrong with that. And if the woman got some, you know, some good walls, you know what I'm saying? Hit the walls. And you know what I'm saying? Be about your business, man. Don't let the walls or the D fool you. That's another thing, man. People be letting the sex fool them.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, man. Sometimes people are just sexually compatible with each other and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
You can't base, you know, anything off of that.
That shit's not sustainable, man.
No.
After a while, man, the D won't get hard, and then the Viagra not going to help either. All you going to be is just sitting there with another person, and you have shit to talk about. But
every
time I smash you in the back of a TGI Fridays, you know? You know what I'm saying? That's the only time stories y'all going to have. That time I fucked you, man, at opera in the middle of the dance floor, nobody noticed. Like, shit like that, man. Like, that kind of shit doesn't work. Like, you have to find somebody that you're physically, mentally, and spiritually compatible with, man. That takes time.
It does.
It takes time, man. Another thing, man. Nah, fuck it. What you about to say?
No, go ahead.
I was about to say, man, people need to lower your fucking expectations, man. That's another thing.
Man, you better say that shit, nigga.
Yeah, man. Lower your expectations. Because this is the thing, man. I hate seeing women have a long-ass list, and men have a long-ass list for their mate. And they
ain't about shit.
And then, motherfucker, yes. And they can't even pass their own motherfucking list that they put out.
Yeah.
Like, he gotta be this, he gotta be that, he gotta be this. But what do you bring to the table? Well, she has to be this, or she has to be that. What are you doing? What kind of terrible things do you have besides your vagina or your penis? What else do you bring? Are you gonna upgrade that person when you're with them? Yes or no? Do you have anything tangible that you can pass on to that mate to make them better? If not, man, they'll be trying to come in here with all these demands for somebody. That's why your ass alone. That's why your ass damn near 50 ain't got nobody, man, because your standards are too high. You don't even have, you're not even upholding to your own standards that you're trying to put on somebody else. And if that person has all those things in them, they're not going to be with somebody lesser.
Yeah.
What for?
Yeah. It's funny. It was some comedian who said, it might have been Cat Williams.
Hmm.
He was like, you know, women today always want that 100% nigga.
Yeah.
He's like, there's no such thing as a 100% nigga. And if there is, you know, 9 times out of 10, he don't want your ass.
Oh, yeah, pretty much, dude.
Yeah. So, you know, be real about your expectations. You know, be real about your standards. But most importantly, when you get faced with, you know, hard times or, you know, something that may look like an obstacle, sit back and think about, you know, if cheating yourself out of life is going to be worth, you know, the risk. Because, you know, there are too many children who are growing up, you know, hating, you know, one of their parental units because of something that they did, you know, 20, 30 years prior that ruined, you know, the family structure. And especially men, you know, when we find out that, you know, there's another man raising our kid, you know.
Can't be getting mad, but you have your fucking chance.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you,
man.
You had every opportunity to get it right. So, honestly, there's nothing you can do, but the best thing you can do is suppress your feelings and, you know, and act like everything is all right. Because what can you really say? What can you really do? So, you know, when that weekend comes, that's a conversation that I look forward to having with, you know, my dad. I really want to get a feel of what he thinks, of how he thinks about, you know, everything that's gone on.
Yeah. Because,
you know.
He regret his decision.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's no way that he thinks that I don't know, or, you know, or that number one, I can't be like him and repeat the cycle.
Nah, man, you definitely can't. You should be creating more angry kids that go around and just blast everything and don't take care and have no responsibility.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened to just people just making it work and figuring out your differences and not when you get mad at somebody, be like, fuck it, sign here and here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Another thing is, you can't let, because, you know, you're going to be with that mate for so long, they're going to know pretty much all your deep, dark secrets.
Yeah.
You got to get in the argument, man. Don't hit below the belt. And if you do, know it's not coming from a place of true hatred. They're probably just mad at the moment. That's another thing for me, man. I'm still kind of, that's for me. Like, I kind of, if you say some shit about me that, you know, say I told you in confidence, and then you say it to me, you know, that's the kind of shit I hold a grudge on. That's why I'm not with nobody now. I get steaming, nigga. I get hot. Like, I get real hot. So, yeah, man, I got a while, man. I guess I'm still kind of somewhat immature to a certain degree, man. I don't know, dude. Like, you better than me, man. All y'all better than me. The whole crew. I'm the last one of the crew, y'all, that ain't married. Last one, I told him too, man. First, when I met him, like, we all got cool. We were always like hypothetically talking about, like, yeah, who get married first, who get married last. So I was like, I can't handle the last part, it's gonna be me. Like, nah, dude. And I was like, okay. And me and ST had a bet for a while, cause we were both like, nah, man, we would be the last ones. And we ended up being the last ones, so you probably, you didn't keep me in the bargain. But it was funny when you told me, remember when you told me you was engaged? I text you, I win. But did I surely win? Shit, did I? I'm alone. But, yeah, this was, man, it was definitely a good topic, man. People need to really like sit down and think about, man. Are my primal and sexual thoughts worth sacrificing my family?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Because most dudes be like, hell yeah, it is, man. Shit. That dome, right? You know what I'm saying? It's worth it. You know, motherfuckers don't care, man. Just
she got that weed on deck, nigga.
Hell yeah, man. She got that good. She got that good Kush, and she sub y'all good. Your mama just can't do it like that no more, man. Yeah, you just have to grow up too, man. So
yeah,
man. I hope this helps somebody out, man. It's about to drive over somebody's house and smash something. So hopefully you turn your ass around.
Yeah.
Or this might make you go faster to him because you're a fucking dick. No, you never.
Yeah. Like, you know, like always, ignorance is not a handicap. It's a personal choice. You know, if there is no light, you must become the light. So be the light. Like we always try to be, you know, every week for y'all. Make sure that you hit us up on all our social media. Continue to, you know, like and follow the show. You know, give us suggestions. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Give us suggestions for new shows, you know, in the future. Be on the lookout. We got some stuff coming down the pipeline. So, you know, just keep your eyes and ears open for that. Other than that, man, I think that's about it. You got anything else?
Yeah, man. If y'all motherfuckers didn't know, it will be our year anniversary next week. So I look forward to a special niggerish episode.
Even though, like as far as content is concerned, like, it'll be off, like, 2 weeks. But, because it'll be, yeah. Because I think, like, in, what, 3 weeks, it'll be actually 52 episodes?
Yeah, but we started, started the March 22nd last year.
Yes,
but
we did.
We have, you know, schedule issues. We were busy, you know. We both went out the country, you know, last year. We had to do our little thing. Hopefully we'll do shit again this year. But, you know, we still going to do something special for next week. But go ahead and sit.
Send it to bed home, ST. All right, y'all. We going to holler at y'all next week. Remember, if the pussy ain't worth it all, don't do it. Episode number 49. Yeah.
Peace, bitch.
Thank you for listening to Black Canvas Podcast. We'll see you next week.